بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي لرسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, last week we were discussing a very important hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to recap, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba that who from amongst them was prepared to learn take five advices from him and practice upon it, or at least teach it to somebody else who will practice upon it. And the first of the five advices was ittaqil maharim takun a'bada an-nas. Save yourself, protect yourself from all those things that are prohibited for you. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon you, you should refrain from those prohibitions. Then you will become the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper from amongst the people. And we discussed this in detail, the various incidents that were given, that we should be refraining from haram at all times. To do good deeds is easy. Extra nafil, roza, etc., tilawat, it is easy. But to refrain from those things which are haram, prohibitions, that is difficult upon the nafs. And therefore, the person gets the title or the position of abad al-nas, the one who is making the most ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second advice is, warza bima qad, warza Allah, warza means to become happy. Warza bima qasam Allahu lak, be happy, be content with whatever Allah has decreed for you, distributed, given you, provided for you. Whatever rozi Allah has allotted for you, be content with it. Then if you do this, takun aghna an-nas, you become the richest of people. So richness is not to do only with material wealth. In fact, richness, real richness, is contentment of the heart. Laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad, walakin al-ghina ghina an-nafs. So we mentioned this as well in detail. And today the next advice is that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was prepared to practice upon or to teach to somebody who will practice upon these advices. So the third one was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that wa ahsin ila jarik takun mu'minan. Be kind to your neighbor, then you will be a true believer. You are kind to your neighbor. When your neighbor is sick, you visit your neighbor. Janaza takes place, you attend the janaza. Neighbor requires some assistance, you are there to help the neighbor. You should not be a troublesome neighbor. Don't give taklif to the neighbor. How often people complain because of noise, a very noisy neighbor. Sometimes the neighbor will just park in front of the next person's driveway. Doesn't take permission at all. He has big functions, and he does not care about elderly people who are staying next door, their neighbors. He's rowdy, he makes noise, he disturbs the person. So all these are against Sharia. In Deen Islam, we have Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad. And as far as Hukukul Ibad is concerned, most of us shirk in our duties and responsibilities. It is easy to give charity and to good avenues, mashallah, Allah accept it. But when it comes to these aspects of Deen, we fall very short, we deficient. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ma zala Jibrilu yusini bil jar, hatta dhanantu annahu sayuwarrithuhu." Said Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ma zala Jibrilu yusini bil jar." He kept on explaining to me the rights of the neighbor. You have to give the neighbor this, you have to be like that to the neighbor, and kind to the neighbor, and see to the neighbor with regard to this, that, so many things. مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ. Give me advice regarding your neighbor. حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. So much so that I felt just now, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would even say that when you pass away, your neighbor will inherit from your inheritance also. That is not the case, but Rasul is trying to emphasize the fact that the neighbor has so much of rights that I felt that, he says, I felt that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would even make my neighbor my heir. In one hadith, Rasul says, Wallahi la yu'minu. Wallahi la yu'minu. Wallahi la yu'minu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a qasam 3 times in Allah. And he says, he does not have iman. He does not have iman. He does not have iman. Qila man ya Rasulullah. Sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah, who doesn't have iman? Qala alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. That person whose neighbor is not free from his evil. Ghawa'il means shurur. From all his shar. Then this neighbor is not free. He doesn't have aman from that neighbor's cruelty, harshness. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a neighbor who complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, my neighbor is very, very troublesome. He gives me taklif all the time. What should I do? Rasul heard him out and realized that his neighbor was very troublesome. So he said, okay, take all your goods, your belongings, and put it onto the pavement outside your house. And sit down there with your belongings. Instruction of Rasulullah. So he took his belongings and he went outside his house and he sat there. People started going past. Hey, boy, what happened? He said, no, my neighbor is giving me taklif, he's doing like this, he's doing like that. Rasulullah advised that I take out my belongings and I go outside. The moment the neighbors realized that that neighbor of his was very troublesome, they began to curse him and shout at him. When that neighbor came to the people are talking bad of me, immediately he goes, apologizes, asks for maaf, and then he becomes a good neighbor. In the Salafi Salihin, there are so many incidents where a person, he endured the hardship that and the taklif that the neighbor was giving him. He kept quiet, he made sabr. Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Ali had a Jewish neighbor, Yahudi. And this Jewish neighbor would take his dirt and throw it into the yard of Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Ali. Throw it over the fence. And each time Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Ali would go and clean it. And this Jewish neighbor continued doing this for a long period of time. Until one day he goes and asks Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Ali, that, oh Malik, tell me, I'm throwing my dirt all the time over the fence, all my garbage. How come you don't say anything? He said, I have been patient on this simply because in our deen, in Islam, we have been taught that we should be kind to our neighbors. Our neighbors have rights upon us. And I'm just fulfilling my duty as a neighbor. So this Yahudi, when he heard that this is your deen, this is your Islam, immediately he embraced Islam. There are many other incidents of other people also, how they endured the pain, the suffering. They did not complain. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, his neighbor was selling his house. And he was a Yahudi. So he put up the price, he made it double. And somebody asked him, why are you putting the price up like that? He says, no. This amount is for the house, and the extra amount is if you want to be the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. Because of the caliber of person, what a nice neighbor he was, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, that the non-Muslim neighbor realized his worth, and therefore he said, if anybody wants to be the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, then he must pay the price for it. So in our deen, in Sharia, the neighbor has great, great, great rights. In fact, in the kitabs, some narrations have been mentioned where they say that you should not even build your building higher than your neighbor. Of course, you take permission if you have to do so, if there's a need. And the reason is, in the hadith is given, that فَتَسُدَّ رِيحَ الرِّيحَ, you stop the breeze from coming into his side because your building is higher than his. Or you block the sun from coming into his section. Take his permission. How often we find people when they're building, they're constructing their property or house, they take some part of the neighbor's land without permission. That is cheating, that is haram. Neighbor's land may have been vacant, but he puts the landmark more, or he puts the fence a bit more into the neighbor's, even if it's one shibr, one handspan. On the day of Qiyamah, if you took that as you transgress and you zulam, you oppress the neighbor, then that small piece of land will be a yoke around your neck and you will be sunk into, right down deep into the earth till the day of Qiyamah. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, awwalu khasmani jarani yawm al-qiyamah. The very first, awwalu khasmani yawm al-qiyamah jaran. The very first two disputed people will have dispute before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will decide amongst people, and when disputes that took place in this world, when you come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very first type of disputes that Allah will deal with is of neighbors. Neighbors. So Rasul said, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu. He doesn't have iman, doesn't have iman. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a woman, and she was very famous regarding her salat and her charity and her ibadat. So somebody told Rasulullah that that certain woman, mashallah, so much of salat she reads and sadaqat and etc. غير أنها تؤذي جيرانها. Besides, one bad quality she has, that she gives taklif to her neighbors. Either she's very cruel, harsh, or she inflicts pain upon them. Whatever she does, she's giving them taklif. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهَا فِي النَّارِ, she's in Jahannam. So these are things that we don't take lightly, and therefore some mentioned specifically among these five advices about the rights of a neighbor. So much so that in the hadith also is mentioned that when you are cooking food, then make khiyal of your neighbor. إِذَا تَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرْ مَأَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ جِرَانَكَ. You're cooking some gravy, add a little bit water to it, so the contents of the gravy becomes more, so that you could even see to your neighbor and give them and share your food with them also. It is mentioned in the kitabs, person buys fruit, then give some to the neighbor also. They also have children. You're having a nice dawah, the deg is smelling very nice, the aroma is going next door, and you can't even share a plate of food. This is not our deen. Our deen teaches us to share and to be kind to our neighbors, not to give them any type of taklif, not to harm them. So many an elderly person staying all alone, and we do not know what pain that person is going through. The person may be sick, and we are busy having our functions and parties and making noise, not even bothered that we are giving this person taklif. And then the next advice given to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, وَأَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. And love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. This again is so important. We like everybody must be kind to us. We like everybody to show us respect, honor and dignity. We like everybody else to take care of us and be kind and share their things with us. But do we do the same to others? وَأَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. What you love for yourself, love for your Muslim brother. And again, in one hadith, Rasul mentioned, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. The person does not have perfect and complete iman until he loves for his Muslim brother and sister, of course, what he loves for himself. تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ. Rasul gave an example. He said, you see believers, when they have mercy for one another and compassion, they assist one another and they see and they have care for the next Muslim brother. Believers are like one body. إِنْ اِشْتَكَى عُضْوًا مِنْهُ. If this one limb is in pain, whether it's the eye or the head or the hand, تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. The entire body will then respond with restlessness and with fever. Person has a toothache. One tooth causing so much of pain that the rest of the body feels the pain. Person becomes restless. Like this is how we should be responding to our Muslim brother or sister in any part of the world who is going through some difficulty. This is what we talk about, ukhuwa. This is brotherhood. This is loving for your Muslim brother, sister, what you love for yourself. Muhammad bin Wasi' rahmatullahi alayhi was selling his donkey. The person asked him, is his donkey in a good, suitable condition that you're selling it? He says, my brother, if it was not in a suitable condition, I would have never sold it. Because I love for my Muslim brother what I love for myself. And when we have a car not in a very good condition, we try and get rid of it. We don't even show the defects of the car to the next person. So we conceal it. That is why it's important to have a clean, pure heart, free from malice, enmity, jealousy, love of dunya. If we have a clean, pure heart, then inshallah we'll be able to give the neighbors their rights. We'll be able to love for the Muslim brother what we love for ourselves. Rasulullah SAW said, that person, he asked one sahabi, tuhibbul jannah? You love jannah? He said, yes. Rasulullah SAW said, then love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. Another hadith, that person who wishes that Jahannam be kept far away, and he may be entered into Jannah, فَلْتَأْتِ مَنِيَّتُهُ, then his mouth should come to him in the condition وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that he believes in Allah, he believes in the day of judgment. And وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَ إِلَيْهِ, he must do to people what he loves that they should do to him. He wants them to be kind, compassionate to him, then he should do the same. You find the Ansar, when the Muhajirin left Makkah and they came into Madinah Munawwara, they had nothing. And Rasulullah made mu'akhat, brotherhood. This sahabi, you are the brother of that sahabi. So that Ansari, he would share his belongings with the Muhajir brother. So much so, he'll take his belongings, say, half is yours, and the remaining half is mine. And there are incidents where the Ansari brother even offered one of his wives, if he had two wives, he said, okay, you take one wife, I will divorce her, and you can marry her. To that extent of mu'akhat. Because of the brotherhood they had, then they built a very good society. A firm society. A strong society. And that is how iman spread. They had good qualities. They followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They fulfilled the rights of people. They did not cheat, deceive. And therefore when Rasulullah told him, لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا, they understood that we cannot have jealousy, we cannot have malice in our hearts, we cannot cheat the Muslim brother and deceive him. We should be brothers, كونوا عباد الله إخوانا. So this is what Muhammad bin Wasi' did. He sold the donkey, not because he wanted to get rid of it, because he knew it was valuable, and now he's selling it to somebody. Whilst he liked it, he gave it to somebody else. He sold it for a price, but he knew it was in a suitable condition. These were the Ansar that they shared their belongings. Why? Because the Muslim brother had nothing. Once Rasulullah comes to Sahaba, he says, there's a guest that has come. May you be for hada al layla. Who'll entertain this one? Mehman has come from outside. So Abu Talha al Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Ana ya Rasulullah. He says, I will do so. So he goes home. And before the guest could arrive, he asks his wife, what do we have for supper tonight? She says, only that amount of food for the children. Nothing else. This was common in the houses of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. There were no fridges and freezers and microwaves. So she only had a little bit of food for the children. So he says, okay, just preoccupy the children with something. And when they become hungry, for now we meet him, they put them off to sleep. So the children will sleep, will be hungry. And whenever mehman comes, then go as though you're going to put the lantern right, and just switch it off, and we'll make as though we didn't have oil for the lantern. فَأَطْفِ istiraj, put it off, so it becomes absolutely dark. There were no other lights there. And pretend, he tells his wife, pretend as though you and I are eating, so that the mehman who comes, the little food we have will suffice for him. This is what Sahaba did. And exactly that, the person comes, and they put off the lantern, and they are busy acting, pretending as though they are eating, making some sounds. And this mehman eats, he goes away. In the morning when this Sahabi went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi said, Allah was so pleased with what you all did, how you entertained your guests last night. Allah was so pleased with how you entertained your guests. Battle of Yarmouk took place. The Sahabi is on the ground, the battleground. He's almost dying. He's wounded, he's injured, he's passing away. And he's absolutely thirsty. And water comes to him. He's about to take a sip of water. Perhaps that one sip could have saved his life. And he can hear just next to him, near him, somebody shouting, Al-Atash, Atash. Thirst, thirst, I'm thirsty. So immediately, he tells the person to give the water to this man. And the water goes to the next person. And exactly like that, he hears the other person, the third person, also crying, shouting for water. He also gives preference. Love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. Even at that moment, Sahaba gave, sacrificed their life, because by that time, when water reached that man, he passed away, he came back to the first person, he also passed away, went to the second person, he also left this world. We are not asked to give our lives in that. But at least, we need to show some compassion, some tarahum, some mercy, genuine mercy. We visit our Muslim brother, or the sisters visit the Muslim sisters, exchange gifts, etc. And we strengthen them. Sometimes just a few words, inspiring words, motivating words, lifts up his spirits, makes him feel good, he was feeling all down. How we wish that somebody come and visit us when we're all alone. If you are sick, no visitors came and saw you. How you feel? Allah, give me tawfiq first. We all are weak in this. Allah, grant us a tawfiq of fulfilling these advices of Rasulullah. One last one is left. Inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq, we'll continue next week, inshallah. But for today, these two advices, wa ahsin ila jarika takun mu'minan. That be kind to your neighbor, you'll be a true believer, a kamil believer. And the second one, وَأَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُن مُسْلِمًا. You'll be a true Muslim, then love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.